Produced at CFIS-FM in Prince George, Health First is available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
We are back with Andrew Patterson. He has been providing oxygen under pressure for people in the Cowichan Valley. And we're just learning so much about the benefits of hyperbaric oxygen. Why do you think, Andrew, it is that they're so much further ahead in England and Scotland than they are here and using it in everyday life?
That's easy to answer. That comes down to two men, Philip James and David Downey. They are the two men who got the whole ball rolling. Philip is a retired professor emeritus of medicine at Ninewells Medical School in Dundee in Scotland. He's the world's leading authority in diving medicine. And if people want to know more, I suggest they get a copy of his book, Oxygen and the Brain, Journey of Our Lifetime. And I'll say right away, that's my Bible for the work that I do. And I've had the opportunity to meet with him now a couple of times in Scotland. I did a course with him at Fort William in October, and he is the driving force, along with his main man, David Downey, MBE. And they've been working together since the late 60s. They've worked with Comex Marseille. They were involved in the deepest dives ever to 701 meters. So that's 70 times the pressure that we're experiencing here. They're both crowned expert witnesses. They've traveled the globe testifying in all sorts of diving-related work. And they're the ones. Philip published a paper in The Lancet in 1982 proposing a new theory for the cause of MS based on microembolism. In fact, stealing some of his thunder, he's renamed MS from multiple sclerosis to microvascular syndrome, because he proposes that it's fat emboli damaging the microcirculation in the brain and the blood-brain barrier becoming compromised and allowing toxins into the brain that is going to be the cause behind many of the cases. It's probably not the only cause, but I think he's quite right. Because remember, in North America, and generally the world, MS is regarded as an autoimmune disease, and it's postulated that a virus causes it. But, you know, since World War II, when this theory was introduced, no one has ever isolated any virus or pathogen that might be responsible. So it is, the autoimmune theory is just a theory, but that's the popular one. And so what, you know, Philip found working with MS people with oxygen was that by controlling the inflammation in the brain, they could greatly control the expression of various symptoms. And I can tell you, I've met people this summer at the conference I was at the University of Warwick who were diagnosed with MS 40 years ago. And here they are in their 70s. No cane, no walker. Looking at them, you can't actually tell. And they've been doing oxygen on a weekly basis for the last, some of them, 35 to 40 years. And not taking any of the drugs, I hasten to add.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So how, if I were to come for oxygen therapy, can it be done on a daily basis, or does there have to be a time lapse in between? You know, I'm thinking of all these baby boomers that are getting new hips, new knees. You know, the joints are you know, they're waiting for all sorts of surgeries. How could this be used effectively for them?
And the answer is very effectively. Just to explain quickly, the medical profession recognizes about 14 or 15 indications for which extra oxygen is useful. And that's fine, but the truth of the matter is it can be useful across a range. But one of the things that this is recognized to do is to regrow bone. I've worked with an oral surgeon here who's referred several people over the years because they come for surgery. There isn't enough bone left in the jaw to do anything, so they have to regrow it first. So they come and do 40 or 50 sessions, the bone regrows, and the surgery can proceed. In the case of hip and knee replacement, I've had several people, and invariably people come for one thing and something else gets better. So one gentleman, for example, supporting his wife with MS, coming along, getting in the chamber to support her, a gentleman in his mid-70s, booked for hip replacement surgery. Well, that's 4 years ago, and he canceled it, and he still hikes in the Rockies. He's pushing 80. He's leaving all his colleagues back at the cabin and still doing his annual hike. And his hips are working beautifully. And I've seen that's one example, but I've seen many. And so my father was a surgeon and an anesthetist, And his opinion was that you should always avoid surgery if at all possible. Mm-hmm. And if you are going to have surgery, then precondition with oxygen so that you have the best outcome. We know that healing after surgery or an accident happens in about one-third of the time and about one-third of the scar tissue. That's why elite athletes, hockey players and so on, motorcycle riders, Formula One race car drivers, they all use it. They all use it to give them an edge and to recover from injury rapidly so they can get back to their profession.
And even if it's not used immediately after trauma, is it still beneficial?
The answer is the sooner the better, and it's never too late to start. I know of one case, post-stroke, 22 years, and some improvement occurred. But yes, if we can get to you within 3 hours of trauma, so much the better.
So, Andrew, how would we go about using this? There's not very many places in BC or even Canada that we can come and do this. How do we find you? How do we set this up if it's something that's going to benefit us?
Well, I can give you my telephone number if you like.
Okay.
It's 250-732-0490. And if you or anyone wants to give me a call, I'll do my best to explain. It is true. There isn't nearly enough chambers. I mean, I believe that every care resident should have one in the basement. People go for perms and pedicures and so on every week. Well, why can't they, you know, pop in and have a little bit of oxygen? I should point out these centers in the UK are charity run. They've been deregulated by an act of parliament. It's not a medical act. The centers are run primarily by lay volunteers. And, you know, I've been to these centers, and it's like going along for a social with people. And it's unfortunate that oxygen isn't more accepted. It's a great question to ask why that is the case. But again, let's remember that what's happened in the UK, as I mentioned, the two gentlemen who drove it, but from there, it's all patient-driven. This hasn't been supported by the NHS or the medical community really at all, except on the Isle of Man. I just want to touch on that briefly. Mm-hmm. The Isle of Man in the Irish Sea, it's its own jurisdiction. It's the oldest functioning parliament in history. It's over 1,000 years old. It's a tax haven. And with 84,000 people, we have two chambers there. They're doing 15,000 sessions a year. The chamber is very well accepted. It's supported by the government. It's supported by the physicians. There's no charge to the people using it. They just need a referral from their GP or another doctor, unless, of course, it's a diving accident.
Okay.
And I'm just saying that it's an example of the level of acceptance and usefulness that is possible. And I hate to say it, but here in Canada, we're at least a generation, if not two generations, behind the times in this field.
Andrew, would there be a big waiting list if we were to try and get in the Cowichan Valley?
No.
So we could actually book and like book 7 days in a row. You can do it day after day after day.
I didn't answer your question before, but the best thing to do is, you know, do a series of 20 to 40, depending on, you know, what we're talking about. We know, again, from the science that's been done, the reasons for doing that, I don't think I'll go into all of them. It's too lengthy to explain today. But plan on coming for, you know, 3 or 4 weeks, going in on a daily basis. And, you know, unfortunately, if you're traveling from away, it's impossible, you know, to come on a weekly or even monthly basis, which is really ideal. But by all means, you know, come and do it daily. And in some cases, depending on what we're looking at, twice daily is appropriate. But for neurological stuff, once a day is plenty.
Okay. Can we get your phone number again, just for the people who would like to call through? And can I get the name of the book that is your Bible?
Yes, certainly. My telephone number, 250-732-0490. Or give my email if people would prefer to do it that way. I'll say it quickly, then I'll spell it out. It's cvpms@icloud.com. So Charlie, Victor, Papa, Michael, Sierra at icloud.com. Go ahead and get a hold of me. The name of the book is by Philip James, is Oxygen and the Brain, Journey of Our Lifetime. He did have a website up, but unfortunately it seems to be down at the moment. But it's available, I think, on Amazon and Best Publishing has it as well.
Good. We'll be looking for it. Thank you so much for being on the program, Andrew Patterson from the Cowichan Valley. And I would just like to thank you for all your work helping our world heal.
Thank you very much for spreading the word, and I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you very much.
Okay. We'd also like to thank our producer, Alan Wishart, and we'd like to thank all the community stations across Canada that carry our program. Have a healthy and happy day.